Hey guys, thanks for listening to another great episode. Man, it's been a long time since the last episode that I've talked about the podcast. So yeah, let's get back to schedule because I know it's been many months since I've put one of these out. But even so, it's nice to just kind of revisit it once in a while. The reason why this episode is because it is one of many things I've done prior to this month, so I gotta push this out as soon as possible. So today's episode is when we talk about nerdy voice actors that has a fantastic season that ended quite well. And yes, it's The Legend of Vox Machina Season 2 with the last episodes of episodes 10, 11, and 12, which in its respectful spots are quite amazing as well as hilarious. So we started with episode 10 with the kill box. So we open up in the episode with them coming out of the rift opening that had both Vexildan, Percy, and Keyleth coming out of the Fey realm to what appears to be an empty field. To their surprise, they were supposed to be right in front of Whitestone, which is kind of odd being in an open field. But as Vexildan approaches a little further, he realizes that there is an invisible barrier surrounding it. So the moment that they go through, of course, Whitestone, and it's actually one part of it, is actually the Townsville, or folks right there doing a little midnight shopping, or nightly shopping, if you will. Elsewhere, we have the Council of the Whitestone, which is literally now known to be the Council of Whitestone because we have Lydia Laura, it's one of the High Priestess, as well as Gilmore. And of course, they're having a discussion about how to relate on how to survive Whitestone during the Khaleesian while the dragons are about. None other than Vox Machina themselves show up to realize that they were supposed to be gone only 3 days during the Fey Realm, which turns out to be 3 weeks that has passed for everyone else in the whole world in the Tal'Dorei realm, if you will. So, to cut up on speed, they're wondering why Vox Machina doesn't have their key members, which is Grog, Pike, and Scanlan, which, realizing that they lost them during a mishap, if you will. So, of course, Lydia Allura herself used her abilities to gaze in what appears they have found in them, found in their location is restroom, which was the last time we saw in the last episode, having both Grog facing against the head honcho Kavdak, which brings us to our title card, or at least our title intro. And this is like kind of a wonderful hint of what's going on in that one. But even so, the intro is a standard season one. Which is fantastic. So where we left off in the intro is that Grog is challenging his uncle Kavdak to the single man combat to fight for literally the throne of the Horde of Storms. Of course, both Grog and Kavdak agrees with them fighting to the death. Unbeknownst to Grog, his friends Pike, Scanlan show up hidden in behind the barrels, whereas Kaylee shows up to see what she can do to help out with the fight. During the brawl that Kavdak, take down Grog, he noticing that Pike is in the field. So it's literally now a do or die situation, whereas Kavdak is telling his men to capture Pike, Scanlan, and Kaylee. Of course, they get captured, but at the same time, still duking it against Grog and Kavdak, which, sadly, Kavdak spikes Grog in one of the structures that's around it. This was also hinted in the campaign, so it's very heavily detailed on why why Grog is like pinned against the pike, which and while Kavdak is gonna like literally show what happens when you involve people that are different or, you know, smaller than yourself. As Grog is helplessly looking at Pike, he gets like this weird motion, this weird sense that he is seeing an Earthbreaker groom, gives him the same speech that he said to him long ago. And he's wondering, like, where does your strength come from? And in truth, Grog knows where his strengths come from. He just doesn't have the means or the know-how of wondering, like, where it is come from. Do I even have the answer to it now? Which, lo and behold, yes. Grog does have the answer to the fabled storytelling that we had long ago. And sure enough, this is where he's noticing that Pike is literally now, you know, stuck in her, you know, predicament, which Grog is now summoning in his famous line, and this is actually always famous for me, is I would like to rage. And this surge of bodily muscle that happens, he's literally becoming regular Grog, which is kind of like a Incredible Hulk moment where Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk. But even so, Grog was able to, you know, break away the pike that stuck with him and just hits Kavdak even harder than before, realizing that he had the upper hand until Kavdak stops him and again beats him to a pulp, near pulp, to this part, realizing that, hey, if you want to know what's my strength lies with my friends. And Kavdak's kind of laughing, thinking like, he only brought two small scrawny ones. But unbeknownst to him, and this is actually a foretelling in the shadows, this is definitely also in the campaign, but played out a little differently, if you will. But even so, this is played out to the point where, yes, all of Vox Machina was able to come to Grog's aid to just like, hey, it's time for us to do the turn of the tide here. So Grog utters another famous line, but even so, I'm a PG channel, I'm sorry to say it, I can't say it, because this is actually the profound, profound way of saying it, and it is, Vox Machina, F this up. So, of course, this is where Percy, Vaxel, then Vaxalia, and Keyleth kind of like have these little profiles on the screen. And then realizing that Scanlan and Pike are just joining in, it's like boom, which cues Scanlan's heavy rock ballad once more, like we did in the last season, which kind of gives the turn of the tide where the members of Vox Machina is like taking care of majority of the storms of the Horde, as well as giving Grog momentary comeback, where he grabs his uncle's axe and literally slashes against his uncle. Not realizing where he hits him, he realized that he kind of disarmed his uncle, which he severs a connection in his arm by doing so. But even so, the Horde kind of regather their strength, while Kavdak is like literally ripping a portion, if you will, off of his body. And it's like, this is like incredibly like weird. to see his uncle just do like that, and it was like, wow. But even so, it gives both Grog and Kavdak a moment to battle one another, and this kind of like, it's so like momentarily thing until Zanlor, Grog's cousin, comes to the aid and kind of like distract his father, whereas those two duking it and giving Vexalia a moment to, and I kid you not, this part of the episode kind of feels very detailed from the campaign, that she flies in, release Trinket out of her locket to make space to scoop up Grog inside the amulet, which gives her a momentum to bring Grog all the way in the air, causing him to be a, you know, sort of aerial assault handed to Grog, with him having an axe in his hand, coming all the way down, splitting his uncle in half. With the word utter in there, and I have to hear it like 5 times over just to even think about that. I think he stated that four strong jaw, which I think in the original campaign he actually stated his dad's name as he delivers the final blow. So at the end of the battle, which now Kavdak is defeated, Pike heal his her buddies, as well as Grog, after being healed, retrieves the Vestus's, the Stone Thunder Knuckles from his departed uncle, to state the claim that, hey, we are now free men or free people. We no longer have to do whatever we had to do originally. Now we can do what we want to do. And this gives Zanwar like a momentary lapse, wondering like, what will Grog do now? I mean, I kind of served my father, but now I'm seeing this guy here. So what Grog did was pardon his cousin Zanwar for the all misdeeds that had occurred by his uncle, kind of, you know, reprieve him, if you will, and also like give him a proper title, which he is now Thunderlord of the Horde of Storms, giving Zanwar like almost like a higher position, or at least the same position as his dad. And Zanwar is like surprised about this, and he's like, what will Grog do now? What will he do? So Grog's mentioning that, hey, there's a dragon, there's some battles, want to join? And sure enough, at the end of the episode, everyone's like partying. Like, what they actually did a few moments ago was like nothing. It was just nothing, just another drunken brawl for everyone. So it's like, it's kind of nice to see that there was some sort of clarity in there in this whole thing. So sure enough, yeah, everyone's like getting in the festive mood. Vexildan literally has this weird vision that like a single thread just like appears out of nowhere, and Keyleth, seductive as she was, trying to get a hold of Vexildan, but he just like brushed it off, like he's not paying attention to it now, you know. It's like kind of weird. But even so, on stage, whereas Dr. Dandrill and Scanlan are performing, Keely performed alongside him with the titled The Bald Man Cry tune. This in itself was also approached on a sideline, where Grog and Zanwar and Percy are discussing how to trap Umbrasyl, or Umbrilical. that now it's time for them to enact a plan to see what they can do. Elsewhere, at the end of the discussion, we have both Kaylee and Scanlan glued themselves to a room where they are left alone, whereas Scanlan is kind of like derobing himself, while Kaylee explains that, you know, she wouldn't be here because of her mother. And sure enough, when Scanlan is like literally pinned onto the bed, it's revealed that Kaylee was the long-lost daughter of Scanlan, and he's already putting this piece together that he's literally daddy at the end of the episode. So, of course, that kind of like gave us the layaway of like, whoa, that's just heavy. That leads us to episode 11, which is Belly of the Beast. Which is, we're picking up from where we last seen Scanlan and Kaylee, whereas he's telling her tale of how he met her mother and mentioning, you know, a lot of things happening with him. And then she realized that he's not talking about her mom. She's talking about another lady by mentioning another name that Kaylee knows that it's not. And Scanlan is like literally like going through names, even says Brad or Brandon or something like that at the end before we hit our again intro with this whole thing. So she kind of breaks down that everything's that's his fault, that whatever he wrought literally is coming back after him, and now it's like, this is what happens now, this is what's going to happen to you now. And sure enough, she realizing that this is another way for him to escape and not face his, you know, face his demons, not face his problems. So this gives us a, you know, literally let's leave this burden with him by leaving a magical sword that leaves him like on the bed. Pinned with the magical sword while Kaylee makes her escapes. Elsewhere in Vox Machina, they had another round of drinks, which Vexodan is literally moving away from them by this mysterious force, which upon further more, he finds himself in the battlefield of where everything happened, not only the past few hours. What's rising in front of him, on the other hand, is like literally who had passed away, like every single storm of horde people who was following Kavdak. But not only just that, it was also like the past people that had fallen. Percy's buddy, the King Ethereal, so many other people that literally pass and like kind of like turns away to see the matron of Ravens right in front of him, give him like this like weird hint that is like something's gonna happen, and he needs to understand it immediately. So in the middle of the night, both Vexodan and Scanlan has this heart-to-heart talk that whatever's going on in their lives, it's just like they're facing it kind of together but totally different in different ways. Elsewhere, we're seeing Umbrasil having a discussion with Thordak. Even though that we've seen that he gathered nearly all the treasure in Reshiram, Umbrasil feels that the vestiges that are like being held in key places where he feels like it's a need to be taken journey for the promise, but Thordak feels that they're not really important, which brings us to Ripley like coming into frame after seeing the transaction or the interaction between those two dragons, that she's telling that Umbrasil's vision of, you know, owning these things, but at the same time it's like we need to gather them regardless. So back to the restroom the next day, the plan was to try to capture Umbrasil by trapping him, which Vexodan is heading over towards the ruins of the matron to realize that Vexalia and Keyleth has been following him. So Vexodan reveals to them that he is making contact with the matron. She's literally pulling him away from the group, which kind of gives him a hint like there's something that he needs to do. So as Vexilden is entering the runes, or at least the chamber to the runes, Vexalia and Keyleth have this heart-to-heart talk, knowing that, yes, that she knows her brother is still in love with Keyleth, and it's fine, but it's like, you know, it's something totally new, something totally different in the dynamic in the group. Elsewhere, Vexilden is being plunged into this veil where he finds Ametrion to know that his goals as her champion is to protect the souls and guide them to both fate and destiny, which is kind of like letting them know that whatever is decided, it's already predestined, or at least close to being destiny calling for those who are, you know, going against. And it's really up to fate on their behalf to either succeed or fail. After the realization, Vexilden did comes back with this renewed purpose of guarding and protecting every soul. Kind of frightened Keyleth and Vexalia with him being stained with blood. And that kind of freaks them out for a bit to wondering like what's going to happen afterwards. So they meet up with Vox Machina, which Percy is born the Horde with the explanation of how the trap works, where Scrog is like, we dig here, we put a trap here. And there will be like, oh, so Grog literally simplifies telling Percy's plan is that we're digging a hole here, we're doing it here. And even so, Percy, unbeknownst, knowing that he made a wonderful contraption, triggers the contraption and kind of like slammed it all on his hand. after that little funny tidbit, we are seeing that both Grog and Zanror having this interaction that, hey, my father, will not no longer need this this weapon. So I think it'd be best if you have it. And sure enough, we know ourselves with Grog and weaponry now, and that it's like it's kind of fruitful if you like literally just try to hand him a talking axe. So of course he does the whole two stages, like if it talks, don't take. If it doesn't take, mine. So of course this leads us to him accepting it and not feeling like it's another Craven Edge moment where he gets a cursed item. As everyone is moving away that is not Horde related, Scanlan sees Kaylee going with Dr. Dandrill and trying to explain to him that he can change as a parent. But at the same time, he's like, there is absolutely no way that Kaylee noticed that there is probably no way for him to change unless he does something monumental. Like, literally monumental. So, of course, Vox Machina and the Horde decides to wait in the setup trap where they collected all the Mounties around town, whatever's left, and kind of signal fire Amaso for a coming. He literally is becoming like cautious, knowing that, hey, there's no one around. It is kind of best for it because I am still mad after the last bounty. But before long, he noticed that there's something to miss, something's weird in his delivery. And sure enough that, you know, that Vexalia noticed that he's probably getting a hint. She kind of triggers the trap by aiming an arrow onto a box, which originally in the campaign, she shot an arrow that kind of like deflected off the plate on the ground, which triggers it. So of course, this triggers the ambush onto the dragon, which after a barrage of attacks, Umbrasil kind of broke free, kind of, and went invisible for doing the assault on his side. even with the Vegases, which is, you know, Vex'ildan having armor, Grog with the stone knuckles, Vex'ahlia with the bow, there's still no match for Umbrasyl, which is like literally like going against one another. So sure enough, you know, with them hiding from a barrage of acid spew, that Vex'ildan and Scallion hides and have like this little moment of reveal that yes, of that Vex'ildan is the champion of Ravens, whereas Scanlan's the father, which was a huge win for him because you can't top that. Can't really. But even so, Scanlan has this crazy plan, this weird plan that, you know, Vex'ildan's like wondering, like, okay, what is this crazy plan? And sure enough, while the rest of Vox Machina is kind of like distracting him, both Vex'ildan and Scanlan entered Umbrasyl in the weirdest way possible. I'm gonna say it in words, backside, like literally to the canal, down yonder, that area. If you are an adult or you are not a child, I'm sorry, kids. This is a scene where you are not able to, you know, see. But even so, the description is backside. They go in through the backside, which enters to some part of the stomach to put in use Kaylee's sword, which Scanlan used to use on the dragon, which kind of pins him down in this whole ordeal. So this kind of anchors Umbrasyl the way he is, but despite of them doing their barrages and kind of winning, he literally rips the sword out of him and flew away. Both revealing to Vox Machina that, hey, this is not cool. He's going away, but also carrying both Vex'ildan and Scanlan inside of him as he flies away. Not too long, or not even too short, Grog used the axe as a sort of hook anchor, or at least a grappling hook, if you will, and flew behind the dragon like a piece of, like a piece of tail on a kite, leaving the team at shocking awe, seeing that they're seeing their friends like flying away and fearing heaven knows what. So would lead to the final episode, episode 12, The Hope Devourer. So of course we pick up, or at least start with, having to see them in like this open cottage in the episode, at least the beginning part, where we see a much older Scanlan Shorthalt telling the tale to his grandkids and his daughter Kaylee about you know, the tales of Vox Machina and what's going on and all that. So of course it was cute and adorable with that. But even so, we are finding ourselves that Scanlan's about to read another tale, and then it becomes like words like wake up, whereas the vision of Vex'ildan's face and superimposed on his grandkids and then his daughter, what brings him to waking up being inside the dragon and flying away with Grog behind him, going towards the mountains. So of course, this back in the battlefield, we're seeing Vox Machina like staring at afar with Umbrasyl flying away, which both Vex'ahlia and both Vex'ahlia and Keyleth being the flyers to go and fly with Percy and Pike after the dragon. During the pursuit, Grog's fighting back and forth, even trying to bring down the dragon, that the dragon literally like giving him a barrage of beats, which kind of helps, but at the same time, like, Grog literally, like, able to climb all the way top the dragon, unhooking his axe to sorry, I'm already bringing on the scene, to hack at least part of the armor, or at least part of the shell, scale, skin of Umbrasyl, trying to get inside the dragon to get his friends out. But with no luck, Grog was tossed off, free-falling off of Umbrasyl, as inside Vex'ahlan and Scanlan is realizing that the only way to get out is through the wound that he just helped create, which is they're going to make it a little bigger. So outside of Umbrasyl, we are finding Grog flying without a parachute, of all things. But even so, the only solution that he feels that he can do is to get big by using the stone thunder knuckles to enlarge himself from the fall. As the group arrives at where Grog is, like, fall at, he is literally damaged from the fall, which makes him look like he's partially dead or partially unalive. So Pike heals him as both Scanlan and Vex'ahlan escapes out of Umbrasyl. Literally, they feel themselves, like, literally gone through it by shoving with Bigsby's hand. This escapes helped Scanlan and Vex'ahlan out as a floating hand is carrying them in midair. Unbeknownst to them, they realize that, hey, Umbrasyl's coming right back. So literally he attacks him in midair, knocking him off of Bigsby's hand, causing a free fall. During this fall, that Vex'ahlan is really, like, in the mood to, like, okay, it's time to show what I have. What I have no idea, but I need to call on the matron to let her know that, hey, things are going to be all right, and I'm no longer afraid, which kind of summons his new ability, which is his armor turns into literally floating wings for him to swoop Scanlan and carry him to safety. Whereas Pike's nearly putting together Grog, realizing that her ability is, like, not able to do whatever. So as much as she wanted to fully heal him, she can only heal him to a certain point without feeling drained, and this is like a spell or so. So it's definitely her duration of her spell. So, of course, Grog, still partially in the mends, is, like, nearly himself, but even so, he cannot stand. His leg is still kind of broken. But even so, in the distance, in fluttering wings, that both Vex'ahlan and Keyleth is hearing, like, feathers flying in the air and seeing, like, Vex'ahlan, like, carrying Scanlan like an angel in the air. So, pretty much, it kind of makes Vex'ahlan jealous that she gets a broomstick and he gets a pair of wings. But, and so, this entails that, hey, even though that the whole team's together, they are, like, literally discussing, like, what's the next course of plan. I think we should, like, gather our strength and regroup again. But Vex'ahlan's like, no, we're here for a reason. We're doing this. We are going to take care of this problem once and for all, you know? So elsewhere inside the mountain where Umbrasyl is healing himself, Thordax demanding his tribute that came from Restroom, which immediately, like, nope. Not talking to you, Thordak. My apologies. I don't want to hear it. But even so, and in the shadows, is like briefly realizing that, hey, if we could just get going while you're in this condition, we could still gather whatever we can to just bring whatever. But even so, Oversoul is realizing, like, hey, if you want the veterans so much, there is already some coming their way. And Ripley is still thinking, like, this is probably a good idea, but it could be also a bad idea. So it's like something that she feels that she needs to address. Back to Vox Machina that's still plowing their way into the cave. Vexildan's like chose for tribute in a way to see what's going to happen, but even so, Keyleth stops him by telling them if there's any trouble, say the safe word, which is Jenga. And this kind of like a nod for season one right there. So of course he goes up ahead, whereas Scanlan and Pike's talking, revealing that he has a daughter, and that was Kaylee, who happened to be his daughter. And the words of wisdom that comes from her, from Pike, is that Scanlan needs to be proven right for doing something big. This is the monumental moment where Scanlan's like wondering, like, what would be the monumental moment? What should I do in order for me to, you know, please my daughter, or please any child of mine? So inside the cabins of the mountain, Vexildan is looking around, but gets distracted by none other than the head, or the departed head, of Cammy Jordy, which is the Sphinx from many episodes ago, making its appearance known that Umbrasil appears out of thin air right in front of Vexildan, attacking him as he attempts to flee. Back to the group, without hearing anything from Vexildan, that we're like, hey, we need to go in there now. We just need to, you know, do what we can, but we have to, like, let Grog rest for a while. So this prompts the splitting of the group once more, which we did, like, another split of the group a couple of episodes ago. Which, leaving both Grog and Pike out in the, you know, situation. Whereas we find Vexildan being in the clutches of Umbrasil, the groups literally send out a few attacks to not only free and rescue Vexildan, but to disorient the dragon. After a narrow escape into the chamber, the group plots their escape, trying to get out of the mountain, whatever strength that they have left. So, of course, Vexildan kind of stops him, because he knows now that they're here for a reason, and the reason is fate. And it's also another reason why he sees Scanlan being in this part of the split group instead of him being with Grog and Pike outside. As everything is happening, and before Scanlan could speak up for himself, Umbrasil busts through the wall, distracting and kind of like give him like an ultimatum, like, we're doing this now. Or kind of like gives us like anticipation, like, I'm going to take the stuff and I'm going to, you know, end you. Which, after a lot of attacks, unsuccessful attacks from the group, Vexalia lost her bow, Fendris, as she gets dropped in the middle of the air because of Umbrasil. And literally, he's about to deal the blow to everyone. He gets stopped by Grog, well, at least Pike, launching in the air, knocking on the side of Umbrasil on the head, and he was about to eat Pike, whereas Grog literally came out of nowhere and just like halt his attack. After a lot of defense work against Umbrasil, we see Scanlan literally realizing himself that he's still afraid, he's still scared of this dragon. And he gets this feeling that he cannot defeat it. But seeing that his team is like literally fighting, he literally needs the gnome up on everything that's happening. So even though Umbrasil literally took the chance to get the upper hand, he's holding both the gauntlets and the bow and gloating that, hey, I got three of your fetuses and now I'm gonna literally carve out your brother or Vaxildan's armor off of him when he passed away. So during the gloating, he is distracted by focusing on the people without realizing that, hey, someone is behind him, which turns out to be Scanlan the Retriever, Mistcarver. So after a few like unsuccessful hits on Scanlan, he was able to plunge the sword into Umbrasil's eye indirectly to do a note, a high note, which makes the sword emulate power out of it, which he literally summoned a mighty slash from eye to eye, which kind of spurts out on the other end of the side of Umbrasil energy out of the blade, which literally without no doubt ending Umbrasil right there in front of him, but without a cost, without no cost of having Scanlan sacrifice himself by doing so. So of course Umbrasil is defeated. He's unalive at this point. And we see Scanlan kind of like underneath him, lifeless. And Pike's trying her best to heal him, but there's no attempt, or at least there was a little attempt, but not too much. And even so, they're saying they're kind of like sorrows and goodbyes until like Scanlan like kind of face out his death, like, I love you too, Scanlan. So of course he fakes it, but after gathering all the vestiges again, they see that this literally Retron's treasure being held in like this little cavern inside the area where they gather all the treasures and kind of like bring it back for, you know, for wealth and glory. But even so, the most certainly glory, because the wealth is like totally different. They now have means to defeat the dragons, which Vex Machina is letting Whitestone kind of spread word around everywhere that we have defeated one dragon. Which after them making their way back to Whitestone to do a celebratory victory over Umbrasil, Keeper Yannin, which by the way that is the High Priestess I was trying to refer to two episodes ago on this one, reveals that she kind of gave a hint that she knew Thordak without revealing to be another dragon, which she had to drugged or made asleep the council without Vox Machina, that she is revealed to be Raishan, which is the other dragon in the group. But even so, Raishan is approaching him as an ally, because the way that she sees this, she sees it as a way of telling them like, hey, you're gonna need 1,000 times the luck that you need, because if you had a problem taking care of Umbrasil, believe you me, what's coming up next is gonna be even terrible. Which she's giving him hints that there was more to Thordak to lead to believe, and the reason being is that Thordak is being summoned or trying to summon his rest of his army, which is basically his eggs, in the ruins of Tal'Dorei, ready to hatch them in his draconic way of getting his army out and kind of wreak havoc throughout the realm. Which brings us to the end of season 2, episodes 10 and 12, which literally this was a huge, huge marker on this whole ordeal. So also, to add note to this episode, and it's a heavy note, by the way, that when these episodes was lost, and roughly around the live show, we lost a wonderful talent, and the talent would be Lance Reddick. He's a phenomenal actor as well as a voice actor. And for those who don't know his work on many occasions has been voiced on many things. One of which is one of the popular ones was Destiny's 1 and 2 as Commander Zavalia. And his voice would always ring true as he was a commander to some, allies to others, and I for one had the honor of play that game when Destiny was out, so that was like the first one. I never had a chance to play Destiny 2 because what I kind of figured out was the character, the one that Nathan Fillion played, they were going to dismiss him, which is, you know, we don't see Cade anywhere. He's just being remembered as the one cowboy that lost. But even so, with Lance Reddick, we've not only lost our commander in that game, but we also lost the caretaker in John Wick. There was a major memento on that one, as well as, you know, many projects that was Lance Reddick in. He was also in Resident Evil, the Netflix version, as playing Albert Wesker, as many versions of him on that one. But even so, if it wasn't for Mr. Reddick, some of us are, you know, profoundly to hear his voice on many occasions on different projects. So this is by far a tribute to him. I've done another thing that deals with his character. I played on Fortnite. But even so, this episode was a tremendous drawback on the man that lent his voice to be Thordak, the Crimson Dragon in the whole realm. Alright, so yeah, really wish I could give you guys a bit more updates, but I'm still trying to get these things out of the way. And yes, I've known the current situation in the world, or at least in my neck of the woods, that things are happening. So, of course, things are just going to be as they are. They're going to be placed out as much as I can with more written stuff. But even so, there will be some sort of gap between then and there. So, until the next episode, hopefully it's another episode I will bring out later. You guys be safe, you be good, and as always, see ya. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Man, what a whirlwind of things happening. One, you can visit my Anchor page at anchor.fm/edcast20, where you can listen to my podcast in seven different podcasts. Spotify being one, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, where you can listen to not only the latest episodes, but some previous episodes as well. I also have, and believe it or not, a blog page now, edwardsreview2.wordpress.com. That is Edwards Review, all in one word, with the number 2, dot WordPress, WordPress.com, where you can read my blog postings as well as the latest episodes that I've been posting on there. Both these sites are amazing, and I do thank for not only the sponsors that helped me out put this together, but also thank you guys for reading and watching this stuff, or kind of listening to this stuff. I haven't done any video yet. So yeah, once again, for anchor.fm at Cast 20 is my Anchor page, as well as edwardsreview2.wordpress.com for the blog posting. Thanks for visiting. See ya.